virtual couch.
Only way we going hell. Real talk, Latisha keeps it real. Real talk, she's an awesome therapist. Real talk, let's keep it real. Real talk's only way we going hell. Real talk, Latisha keeps it real. Real talk, she's an awesome therapist. Real talk, gotta keep it real with this man of hell. Latisha's here to provide the help, so you could take care of yourself. You gotta do the work of nobody else.
Wipe your feet at the door, get your snacks, water, and an open mind to take in these priceless gems from your favorite therapist, Latisha.
It should be illegal to have this much swag. Latisha, maybe you need to order up a prescription for that sauce, girl. Are you ready to be enlightened? Empowered and inspired? Wipe your feet at the door, get your snacks, water, and an opened mind to take in these priceless gems from your favorite therapist, Latisha.
With that dope swag from the best coast to the west coast.
And she's fine too.
On Latisha's virtual couch. Do your thing, beautiful.
Hey, my people, and happy new year to you. I'm so excited. This is the first episode of the new year for me. So again, happy new year. And I say this reluctantly because every day you wake up should be like a new year for you. I know it is for me because God allowed you to open your eyes and breathe another breath, right? You should be waking up every day, and I'm not trying to preach to you, but you should be waking up every day because I'm going to go on. Like it's a new year because it's a brand new day where you can get it together, okay? So I hope you're working out those goals, things that you envisioned yourself that you would be working, even if it's just on yourself, right? Which you can't work really on anything without working on yourself. But this is kind of what my podcast episode is about, okay? So, but before I go on, did you like that new intro? You know I'm always keeping things hot and fresh and swagged out for you, right? So, I have a question. How are you showing up this year? Are you being an imposter or are you showing up authentically? And I think I said that last year. Being authentic is just what I'm all about. I can't stand a fraud. And so this episode is going to be dedicated towards that. So can I be frank and honest for a minute? There are many people that are sadly just not living their truth. And to be honest with you, even more sadly, I don't think they really know what their truth is. I think they're so used to going out and throughout life being a shell of other people. And it's really sad. And instead of being honest with themselves and saying, you know what, I need to look within myself, they are just continually be a fraud. And I hate to say this, but some people just really don't know that they're being a fraud. And then some people really know. There's a lot of people out here just really don't know who they are. They've just are just living a lie. And so this episode is kind of just, I'm going to expose that. I have someone, and the reason why I thought about doing this podcast episode, I was listening to Tony Gaskin, and I love him, and we're virtual friends, right? And he literally said some of the same things that I've been saying. And I used to think like, okay, well, people are going to copy you because that's just what people do. But we're not to take that. We're to expose that. And you know why? God gave each one of us a purpose. And so when I'm sitting here spending my time
teasing things out with him. For someone else to steal that, there's absolutely no way I'm going to do that. So, and I'm pretty sure she's listening. If you're out there and you want to think about stealing any of my content, I will be exposing you all 2023 with names. And Tony Gaskin, I'm going to insert that in this episode. He did literally that. And so I'm like, okay, God always confirms for me what's right, because I just felt like it's just highway robbery for us to be working on the things that we're working on and our blood, sweat, and tears. And for someone to just try to steal that. And I'm going to go into detail of how the ways that you can see that people are stealing your things. Not only Tony went into detail, so I'm going to insert that, and then I'm going to go back behind him and I'm going to expand on that. But especially when someone is not in your field, there are certain lingos, language, if you will, certain jargon that as a therapist, a layman person is just not going to be using, right? So it's really sad that a person is stealing your content and don't even know how to steal right? It's just really comical. And it's really sad at the same time, because this individual that I'm speaking of, you can tell that she really needs some mental assistance, okay? And her last name is Dill, and I'm going to say her whole name if she continues. But it's really sad that people, they form their platforms off the backs of other people's blood, sweat, and tears, and they have no remorse for it. I have seen this individual actually steal quotes that I know some of my colleagues have created. I have seen this individual actually steal something out of an article. And this article is geared towards therapists, people that are in the mental health field. So you would ask yourself, but you know, these people are not dealing in wisdom and any logic, right? But as for me, how would you know this information, and why do you think you're authorized to teach information when you're not in the field? And they don't understand that they can really get themselves in trouble and get their certificates and whatever they have swiped away. So enough of that, but I just really wanted to hone on that, excuse me, for this year, because I'm just hoping that each and every one of you, including myself, that I try to do this every day, is to be creative, but to live in my truth, to be authentic. Because why would someone listen to you? And some of these people that I'm speaking of, this person, if you will, is an educator. Why would someone want to listen to someone who is a carbon copy of someone else? But again, some of these people really don't even know that they have a problem. And it's really sad, because in the day and age of social media, anybody can just set up a platform. And it's really scary. On one end, it's really a good thing, because people can develop their own platforms and have a voice, right? But on the one end, it's scary, because you really don't know the voice that you're listening to. And that's the sad part. So when I come back after this break, I'm going to go on more, and we're going to talk about this. And I hope if this is giving you some kind of conviction, maybe you need to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, am I walking in my truth? And sometimes it's the whole imposter syndrome, and sometimes people really don't like who they are. And that's sad. But that lets you know that you're not ready and that you're not equipped to teach anyone anything. Because if you don't buy and believe in your own message, why should someone else? Okay? That's a direct question and also a rhetorical question. So with that said, stay tuned and come back after this break. Information provided on this platform is for informational purposes only. If you ever find yourself becoming triggered, please refrain from listening. If you ever feel like you want to hurt yourself or hurt someone else, please dial 911 or report to your nearest emergency room. Thank you.
When you watch Kobe Bryant, God rest his soul, if you watch his Kobe Bryant highlights, a lot of it literally is a carbon copy of Michael Jordan. highlights. But when you watch Michael Jordan's highlights, we don't have anybody before Michael Jordan that did the same exact moves. So here comes Michael. He's the originator. He is the original. And then from Michael, there are a lot of replicas and duplicates who has added their own grit to it, their own style to it, like Kobe did. But other than them two, nobody else really doing those moves that they did and playing the way they play and the intensity they lead a team. Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, they're in their own league and with the way they do things. And Kobe was inspired by Michael. But here's what happens. The adversary, Satan, evil, is always an imitator of good, of righteousness, of God. And so when somebody comes into a lane doing something organically, authentically, and for the right reasons, and it looks like it's going well, there's always going to be imitators. There's always going to be people who come and copy it, but pervert it. So you can go and get a credit card and do credit card arbitrage, which I don't even know what it means really, but you can get this credit card and you can use it for the points, get the points, get all the bonuses, get your money back, get you some cash back. So it's essentially like you just did what you did, that flight or the money you spent, you did it at a discounted rate because they give you points and then you could turn them points into gift cards. Well, somebody come and do that and it's completely by the book and it's legal. But then it's going to be somebody who come into the credit card game and they pervert it. They start somehow stealing money, stealing your identity, getting your credit, copying your credit card, spending money.
The state of the world that we live in today, people are just so hungry to be seen, to be heard, to be accepted, to be loved. But few are real for this very reason. They're starving. They have voids that they need to be filled, but they try to fill them with the wrong things, okay? These people that are on these social media platforms that are your followers, they don't know you, okay? And so a lot of them don't care about seeing you crash and burn. Social media has made this so commonplace, and it's scary because everyone doesn't view things circumspectly like I do. But again, this is the state of the world where we are in the technological age of social media, and it's a very intricate part of our daily lives. One can literally be whoever they want to be until they crash and burn. And when I say until they crash and burn, because there is a point where crashing and burning is inevitable. I see why people have issues connecting today. You know why? Because how can one connect walking around wearing a mask? When you are connecting with someone, you're connecting because you're authentic. You are authentic. What is authentic? That's being real. And I'm going to go into a little detail of what that actually looks like, because I think few people know what that is today. Real, authentic connections, no matter how hard you try, they can't be duplicated. What did I just say before? You have to know who you are. How are you connecting with someone wearing a mask? That means that person won't really know the real you. And I'm just going to let you know, even if, and I hope this doesn't happen, someone were to choose you based on you wearing that mask, the real you is going to come out eventually. And it's going to be the downfall of that relationship, because that person's not even going to know who you are, right? So why would you do that? Why would you do that to yourself, first of all? But why would you do that to someone else? One thing I will say, and I'm not putting myself on a pedestal, I have never had an issue with connecting with people. And thank God I don't, because I wouldn't be a good therapist, right? If I wasn't showing up every day as myself, I definitely wouldn't be a good therapist, because you definitely have to know who you are in order to help people navigate and journey on their own journey to self-discovery. You just have to. But I'm not going to lie. I've always been a person who really didn't care what people thought anyway. And the reason being is because I want to know if you like me for me. I don't want you around me because you think I'm someone else. And so I think it's a weeding out process for me. If a person don't want me, that means that you wasn't for my journey. And you would just only have me stagnant. And that's just what it is. But a lot of people haven't arrived there because literally they don't even know who they are. And for the people who actually know who they are and they still intend on and choose to wear a mask, they don't like who they are. And that's a deeper discussion that we'll have a little bit later. When we're building authentic connections, it's a spiritual thing. Of course, again, it can't be duplicated. It's a spiritual thing. You know, how do you feel like people meet their quote unquote soulmate that it just happened, right? If you listen to anyone, if you talk to anyone who've met their soulmate and they feel like they've met their person, they always say, usually they wasn't looking for that person. Sometimes they didn't even like them initially, to let you know how much of a spiritual thing it is, because you saw that your hand wasn't nowhere in it. You didn't even like that person usually. And I love speaking with married couples, and I have married friends, and I have individuals that are in my family that are married in successful marriage, because I wouldn't bring up marriages if they wasn't successful. And they all tell me that it just happened usually when they were at a place where they wasn't really tripping on a relationship. And you know what? That's usually when it happens, because you're not looking for anything to fill a void. That's the wrong thing. And it's just not fair to put that on another person anyway. When you are looking for a relationship to fill something within you that you need to be doing yourself, it's so unfair. It's very selfish, because you need to be doing the work yourself. And if you're looking for a relationship to get you something, that's the wrong mindset to have in the first place. Relationships are really about giving. And sometimes you're not going to get back what you give. But sometimes people are just not your person and they don't want you. There's going to be people who are just going to take. And guess what? Whose fault is that? It's your fault. Because you are continuing to give to a person who is just taking and not giving to you. Okay? So again, it's a spiritual thing. And no matter how anyone tries to copy that sauce, because I call it sauce, and I can speak with me, you would never get what I have, because God is not going to allow that. You're not going to have who's meant for me. You're not going to have what's meant for me. Okay? And sometimes people don't even see what we do behind the scenes. You know what? I would love for people to see the day in and day out of my life. I make it look easy. You know why? Because when you're anointed to do something, you're anointed to do something, right? That's like having a tailor-made suit and someone else is trying to fit in that suit that was made specifically for your measurements. It's just not going to work. And that's just about life. A person that is meant for me, I don't have to go chase that thing. I don't have to go chase that person. I'm not going to call them a thing. But even if it's your dreams, your goals, whatever, I don't have to chase it, because it was meant for me. I was born for that thing. I was born for that person for me, and vice versa, right? So again, I can't stress this enough. You just do not want something that is not for you. Okay, so let's get into it. What is living an authentic life? What is that? We hear the word authentic all the time, but what is it really? An authentic life is one where our needs are met, we feel fulfilled, we experience self-actualization. I'm going to go into that a little detail for my a little bit further for my fellow therapists out there who knows what that is already, and we flourish. Authentic living involves a balance between what is occurring within us and how we express and represent ourselves outside. And that's the thing. I'm going to read that again. Authentic living involves a balance between what is occurring within us. That's key. Within us. What's occurring within you? If you are chaotic inside and haven't healed inside, that's going to manifest outside. It just is. It's going to manifest in what you choose, in your life, in what you say, it has to go. You know, it is. Again, being authentic, it's gonna just show up. You can't fake being authentic. You just can't. That's an oxymoron anyway. But anyway, the Maslow hierarchy of need, that's also something within our field, is basically a pyramid. And at the base of the pyramid, there are things that we need to achieve prior to moving upward in our mobility, upward, the, you know, up from the base of the pyramid to the pinnacle of the pyramid. And the needs become less tangible and more altruistic in nature, okay? From the bottom of the hierarchy upward, the needs are physiological, which is like food, clothing, shelter. Then we have safety, and that can include job security or just physical safety in general. Then we have love and belonging, and that can include friendships, romantic partnerships, you know, just love and belonging in your family. Then we go to esteem and self-actualization. Now you see how at the beginning, it was basic food and shelter. And so basically what the hierarchy says is that you can't actually be self-actualizing, it's like a tongue twister again. We can't actually be self-actualizing. I said it again. Self-actualizing. I have to laugh at myself, but at least I correct myself, because some people be doing the gibberish thing and they don't even correct themselves, but I care. It's self-actualization, basically. You can't achieve that if the things at the bottom at the beginning haven't been accomplished. Now, how are you going to tell, and I do this with my clients all the time, how am I going to have a client, I'll use this as an example, how can I want them to have better self-esteem, make better choices in life, if they don't know what they're going to eat today, right? That's not prioritizing their needs. And so basically the Maslow hierarchy of need is just prioritizing what our needs are. And so why this is very important in this discussion is because a lot of people are putting the cart before the horse. They are on social media, literally just bleeding on one another, and they haven't even achieved self-actualization themselves. How are you, and I'll just say this, like the individual I was speaking about before, how are you looking for a relationship if you don't even know who you are? What are you actually giving to that person? Nothing but your chaos, nothing but your drama, nothing but your self-esteem issues, nothing but just toxicity. And that's why you see the same people over and over again not having fulfilling relationships. You know why? Because they don't even have a fulfilling relationship with their self. And a lot of it, you haven't really achieved and fixed that love and belonging thing. Remember I talked about love and belonging? That's at the base of the Maslow hierarchy of need. You still have a need to love and belong. And so what you're going to do, you're just going to force somebody to love you, right? You're just going to force somebody. No, you have to fix that thing. And I'm not going to say sorry. You have to go to therapy. You need to do something to fix that thing. You're not going to be your best self in a relationship if you're not your best self by yourself. Okay? Now, like I said before, the needs lower down in the hierarchy must be satisfied before individuals can attend to the needs higher up. Okay? Can't stress that enough. You are not going to think about self-esteem and job security if you don't know if you're, like I said, you're going to eat today, where you're going to live. One of the things I do as a therapist, and this is why it's included in our psychosocial assessment, you want to know what the needs of a person are. One of the first things I ask them, especially with the population I deal with a lot, where are you living? Excuse me. Are you homeless? Because I'm not talking about any goals of conflict resolution, none of that stuff, if you don't have a place to stay. I'm just not. So what I usually do, I'm talking with my case manager, because we're a team. As a therapist, I don't work in a silo. I'm speaking with my team, you know, hey, I need some resources for this person. This person needs to go to the doctor. They haven't had a physical in God knows how long, you know? So that's one of the things that I do. Now, going on, from an existentialist standpoint, philosopher John Paul, authenticity was fundamental to the notion of freedom and living a meaningful life. This is what he said. Authentic living requires us to embrace the reality of our freedom and be responsible for how we choose to live. In psychology,
authenticity is more than merely trying to be ourselves. It requires us to know and own who we are. That's important, to know and own it. That means to know who you are, so to be cognizant of it, and to be satisfied with that, okay? You hear what? You hear this? To be satisfied. So knowing who you are and being satisfied, okay? Accepting who you are, good, bad, and indifferent. So what is living an authentic life again? How we perceive our authenticity is a crucial aspect of who we are. Not only does it significantly influence the pleasures we derive from our experiences, but it also affects our judgment and behavior across all aspects of our life. Even young children, can you believe this? Even young children are aware of the importance of authenticity, learning to treasure originals more than copies from an early age, right? Even children know what's a knockoff. Why don't you think humans don't know that? So why would a grown adult, why would an adult think that they can trick somebody into believing that they're something that they're not? And I say this because when people copying off of somebody, you know, copying off of me, why would you believe the next person would be that ignorant to know that you're not being yourself? I mean, it's just like, where's the logic in, you know, well, usually people are like this. They're really are wounded and operating from a delusional standpoint. People know real from fake, even children. Again, why would someone want a knockoff? Why would someone want to be a knockoff for acceptance, especially in romantic relationships? Oh my God. Again, some of this lies in childhood trauma, which I have a book coming out on childhood trauma. It's not, I wouldn't say it'd really go into detail because I'm going to do a childhood trauma book for adults, but this is really for children to deal with childhood trauma and be able to process their traumas a little bit better. A lot of it lies in childhood trauma and some things that have been done to them and that they haven't really addressed and dealt with head on. And so that's what a lot of people need to do. A lot of people really need to do the work. I know we always hear this phrase, do the work, do the work, do the work. But what does that look like? What it is, a lot of people just don't know what it looks like. And some people just don't want to. Because when you do the work, you have to unpeel that onion and you have to get down to that stuff that's ugly. You just do. And a lot of people don't know how to do it. A lot of people haven't been able to. You know why? Because they're always searching for a relationship. They're always in a relationship. And if they see, why they're not working? Because you haven't dealt with your stuff. And are you doing it just taking baggage that you got from the other relationship back to this one, to the other one? And when along with the baggage that you haven't really dealt with yourself, okay? So learning to live authentically is about understanding what it means to be real, okay? This is a real podcast, right? You guys know I don't sugarcoat anything for you. I keep it real. I know people try to steal my swag, but you can't steal my swag. This is who I am. You ask anyone about me as a kid, I was just always a swagged out kid. I was just always that kid that was just like too cool for school, right? So you could never, ever. And so it's just like, it's really cringeworthy to see and to know that people will want to copy another person's persona. Why? You would never see me trying to copy someone else, because if you don't like me, you just don't like me. That's just what it is. That means you're not for me, right? So enough of that. I'll come back with more after this break. Again, I missed you guys, you know? This is a new year. I can't wait to give you more episodes, but enough of all of that. Come back after this break.
Hey, welcome to Letitia's Audience Commentary. Don't forget to drop those voice messages on the Anchor app. And email Letitia at virtualcouchpodcast1@gmail.com.
Now, let's listen in.
On the panel, and tweets were going out from his account. And then she texted me, she said, hey, Rev Ron don't actually run his account because he up here speaking, but I'm seeing tweets go out on his page. I said, oh, that makes sense. Probably one of his daughters or whoever, and that makes sense. They young people don't understand branding. They don't understand how bad they make him look when they stealing. And because I only had a handful of followers, like maybe 25, 50,000 followers, to his hundreds of thousands, they probably thought nobody noticed dude because I didn't have a TV show on BET or MTV. So they probably thinking nobody gonna find out. But no, I called it out. And then a lot of accounts started stealing my tweets. And I don't know if they, well, see, people did not run their Twitter. Back then, social media was still new. It's 2009, 2010. So I saw my tweets on a lot of famous pastors' pages. Joe Osteen, Paula White. Somebody started a fake TD Jakes page. It was fake. It wasn't TD Jakes. And then one day, the person tweeted, follow these two great men. And I was one of those people. So all of these bishops started following me. Like, and big name pastors. You know, Jamal Bryan, E. Dewey Smith, Bishop Dale Bonner. Like people who was had like mega churches in their city, they started following me. So then my quote started going everywhere. I went to Bishop Dale Bonner Church and met him and went into his office after the service because we connected on Twitter. And when I'm sitting in his church and I'm at the sermon, he putting up quotes on the screen. Albert Einstein quote, Ralph Waldo Emerson quote. Then my quote. But with my quote, he didn't have my name on it. I don't know if he just didn't know it was mine, or if he didn't believe it was mine, or if he just, as a black man, didn't want to attest that a black man half his age was helping feed his sermon, helping his message get across. Then it was like another famous dead white person quote. And then it was my quote again. So at this point, I'm kind of like, I don't understand. Like, is he trying to flatter me? Is he trying to disrespect me? Like, does he not know those are my original quotes? Because my quotes got blood in the ink. And so when I read my quote, I know it's my quote because I remember where I wrote it at, why I wrote it, and what I was going through when I wrote it. So, or what I had seen, or what I had learned, or what I had experienced. So I know me. It's just like a artist know his painting. An artist know his music. I know my quotes. And so it started going viral.
Many are just not living an authentic life. And they're just shells of other people, like I said. And like Tony Gaskin alluded to, many will copy us, but they can't copy the sauce though, right? That draws people in, and that makes us magnetized, and that's what keeps us as individuals. And again, why would you want to copy someone else when who you are makes you who you are, right? And so a lot of times people look at the outward rewards and awards and the accolade that we get from other people and some of the fruits of our labor that, if you follow me, you would see that I enjoy life. Every single day I enjoy. But again, you don't see behind the scenes when I'm up late at night, when I'm not getting any sleep, getting things done, even though it's fun for me. I will say that everything that I do is fun because I'm working in my passion and purpose. So that's why you have to know what you were created for. See, it's one thing to sit under someone almost like an apprentice in an apprenticeship and glean from their wisdom. But today, many people are so thirsty for the limelight, and that's just so sad. Long gone are the days of apprenticeship and being a student. They try to bypass being a student and sitting down somewhere and just learning, being a sponge. The proper way to give homage is to learn and acknowledge where you have received the information from. And many today, they'll literally take your stuff without giving any accolade and any acknowledgement that you were the originator of this thing. And there's so many people, because I look online a lot, on social media, you see a lot of people with smaller platforms, and you see these celebrities just take their stuff. And I'm so happy that they call them out. They call them out because it's so easy to say, okay, this is a giant, No one is going to know, you know, who I am. They may accuse me of stealing, or you know how social media is. You may have a lot of bullies out there that may now target this individual, okay? But this year, we are exposing these frauds. At least I know I am. If I see any of my content anywhere, I'm calling out your name, because if you want to be famous, I'm going to help you be famous. But it's probably not going to be in the way you want to be. Okay, just like Tony Gaskin, I feel like I know this is, we're in this season, because in my prayer time, I really believe that that's what God was telling me. Like, no, you have to call this out because it's not good. And the simple fact that if we're gleaning and we're in our prayer time, getting ideas and everything, just for somebody to take it, absolutely not. So if you're out there contemplating stealing any of my information, and anybody else's for that, why would you want to do that anyway? You're a person that's not walking in any integrity, and you're going to be found out because somebody's going to know, and you don't know who know who, because I've alerted a lot of people. If you see any of my things, let me know. Okay. So yeah, like I said, Tony Gaskin, he confirmed for me that we cannot just allow people who aren't equipped in many cases to steal our content that we made just all for the sake of clout. Okay. And it's no shock that people will copy things that are great, right? Isn't even Tony Gaskin, he alluded to this. That's what the devil did. That's what he's known for. He's known for, if you're a believer, but I am, he's known for being a counterfeit. Anything of God, he copies. But he can't quite copy it to the perfection of God. And that's how people are too. We are, some of us, I'll say, are extensions of him. And so when people copy me, you know, it can be a little irritating, but it's also flattery, because people only copy greatness, right? Yeah, people are only drawn to greatness. But see, the thing about it, people want the glory, but not the grind. And yes, that's my quote, so don't try to steal it. And I know one who always tried to steal and try to doctor it up, put in other words, but I'm always catching on to all that stuff. See, another thing about the anointed, God shows us everything. There's nothing hidden. So don't even try it. So one who likes to steal my quotes and everything, don't even try it. Even if you try to put other words in there, I'm going to know. Like Tony Gaskin said, it's something about your stuff. You know what it is, because when you're an artist, and we are creatives or artists, we know our things. I know the very place I was, the things that I was thinking, sometimes the things I was eating and wearing, because as an artist, all of your senses are a part of this process. As I alluded to before, what is meant for us, you know, we don't have to chase it and we don't have to fraud trying to get it, okay? So be original. Be original. And yeah, and some have found out the hard way. Like I said before, there's people who've been sued for taking someone else's stuff. Just don't do it, people, okay? What else? Another thing is, let's talk about Carl Rogers. You've probably heard of him if you are a psychologist, therapist, or whatever. He is a humanistic psychologist, and he believed that being motivated towards fulfillment and self-actualization is a natural human urge. Yet it can be blocked when our needs go unsatisfied. People will do all they can to do to survive. This affects behavior and how we perceive the world and the people around us. Those who have their needs met through positive, nurturing environments flourish. Yes, they do. Humans' natural tendency is to strive to become more authentic. That is our natural tendency. Our natural tendency is to be our best selves. It really is. But like, well, I don't know if I said this before, but sometimes things happen, such as trauma, that can kind of keep us fixated in various stages of our lives, and that that hinders growth and relationships, your personal development first, because I know I've said this in my other podcast episodes, and I'm going to say it until the cows come home. You should not be looking for a relationship if you haven't built one with yourself first. You definitely have to build one with yourself. You got to find inner peace with yourself. And I know I saw this on someone's timeline recently, but whatever. But you have to find inner peace with yourself before you even look outward to a relationship. But you have so many people that are thirsty to belong and to fill voids that they're always looking to other people. But they're really going to be like a hamster in a wheel. You're going to have the same encounters and outcomes over and over again, regardless of the person, because you're just not healed. And all you're doing is taking your unhealed self and probably damaging someone else, because that's usually what happens. Or you guys are damaging each other, because if they're damaged too, and the reason why I say they could be damaged too, because usually a healed person is not going to be with an unhealthy person. We're just not going to do it. Because you know why? When you are healed, you are able to see clearly and you're able to feel things from a healthy place. And you're not just going to be sitting in a toxic environment for the sake of sitting in a toxic environment. You're just not going to do it. Okay? We do not teach our babies to be authentic. Like, again, it's a natural thing. Humans' natural tendency, like I said before, is to strive to become more authentic and developing in the direction necessary to reach their full potential, like plants growing towards the light. And I love that analogy, because as humans, we are literally reaching towards the light. And that's like being self-actualized. That's the pinnacle of the Maslow hierarchy of need, is to always, you should be always growing every day. It doesn't have to be by leaps and bounds, of course, but you should be gradually growing every single day. Again, we don't teach babies to be authentic. That's just something natural within us. They have no facade and are entirely in touch with who they are inside. Have you met kids? And I love being around kids. And I'm thinking of my little baby right now. He's not here with me. He's my little cousin, but I call him my nephew. And babies are just so inquisitive, and they love exploring, and they're just so innocent, and they're not tainted yet, if you will. And when they're talking, they say the darndest things because they have no filter. They haven't been tainted yet. Okay? When hungry, they cry, and when their needs are met, they stop. Yet, as self-awareness develops beginning at 18 months, so too does their sense of who they are, and their narrative starts to develop. Okay, so starting at 18 months. And this is why, again, I love being around children, specifically my little baby. He just allows me to reset, and they just provide so much happiness. I'm just saying, the person living authentically exists moment by moment, striving to understand themselves, their motivation, defenses, and conditions of worth, while being aware of their responsibilities and choices. That sounds like me. I live from moment to moment, and not in a way where I'm not planning, because I'm such a planner. I am a planner. I have so many projects that's in this brain of mine. I have to be a planner or nothing would get done. So I'm very organized. And I've never really been a procrastinator. If I procrastinate, I really don't call it procrastination. That's usually a sign that my body just needs to rest. And that's for me. So I'm not endorsing procrastination for yous out there who are really procrastinators. Okay? For me, I know when I need to get things done. And when I need to get things done, I get it done. An authentic life involves following one's passions and being intimately connected to our natural abilities, strengths, and talents. Now let's stick a pin in that, and we'll continue with more after this break.
Okay, get back into your comfortable spot and get cozy to hear some more of our girl Letitia's dope gems. Now, let's listen in.
come back. I hope you enjoyed the break. So let's get into it again, okay? Authenticity and authentic self in psychology research. Now, you know I always got to do my research, right? And it's because I'm in the field. Now, we've heard other people podcasts, like the person I alluded to before. I just can't get enough. Just be yourself. I get into research because anytime I'm talking of anything mental health, I want you to know that I'm not talking out the side of my neck, okay? That this stuff is backed by research, okay? And I'm just a research person, but my entire field is based on research. Empirical data to let you know that there is some reliability and validity in what I'm saying, okay? And if you want to know what those two things are, you have to go to my, I have other episodes where I talk about it. And just briefly, reliability is over time with the same outcome manifest, okay? Where you have the same outcome. So that means that your research is reliable. Validity is it valid? Basically, what you set out to research, did the outcome come out that way? So what you had in your mind that was gonna happen, did that also manifest, okay? So that's just a quick synopsis of what I'm talking about. Okay, so over the last couple of decades, there have been some fascinating research behind the factors impacting authenticity and its effects on how we live, okay? Life's impermanence and uncertainty may actually increase authentic living. For some, the realizations that death is ultimately unavoidable, values are subjective, and the universe holds no clear objectives can be wake-up calls that lead to more authenticity. And, excuse me, that is very true with me. That is one reason I can say I travel a lot, and I do a lot of other things besides traveling. But for me, that's one of the things. I live life to the fullest. I seize the day because I don't know if I'm going to see tomorrow. And so that allows me, the uncertainty of life allows me to live my life more authentic. Everything that I do, and I know this may sound like cap, but it's not, I make sure everything that I do, it has a purpose to it. I literally don't really do anything that is idle or hang around people who are idle. I just don't. I think it's a waste of my time and it's a waste of my energy. And anything where you're wasting your time, it's basically wasting God's time. And it's just an invitation for bad things to happen. I'm just going to be honest with you. So I'll leave that there. Modern technology, so intrusive and intimately connected to all aspects of contemporary existence, can also impact authentic living. As wearable technology continues to revolutionize the health, wellness, and sports sectors, providing previously unknowable biometrics information to general populations, they offer sometimes doubtful promises to enhance users' lives. Wearable technology's development may also alter more fundamentally how we exist and interact within our world. Self-presentation theory suggests that all people knowingly package information about themselves to varying degrees in order to impress their audience. Hart, Richer, and Breeden and Caden explored the nature of authenticity on self-presentation using the surprising fact that authentic people see colors more intensely, okay? They found that self-proclaimed authentic people, when pressed, will manipulate their behavior to appear authentic. Oh, let's stick a pin in that. And that's basically the gist of my whole episode. Let's read that again. They found that self-proclaimed authentic people, when pressed, will manipulate their behaviors to appear authentic. I see this all the time. You have your people who, I'm happy. And every time I see that, I cringe. And this is the reason why right here. See, you can't fool us. We're in this field. If you have to continue to prove that you're happy, you usually are not. Because truly authentic people are so happy and authentic that they don't even have time to even say that and do that because they're living in the present. I'm just being honest with you. If you have to post, now, mind you, I post when I'm on vacation because
I love doing that. And I'm blogging. I'm a blogger of my vacations, so I do that. I also do it just to make sure that people know when I'm out and about that I'm cool. I'm okay. But I know when people are capping to, I'm having fun. When you're having fun, you're actually in the moment. And to be honest with you, I really don't post as much as I do on vacation. You guys don't even see the half. I'm just going to be honest with you. You see a couple of pictures here and there, but you definitely don't even see 50% of what I do. You just don't. Because those things are for me. Those things are for personal friends and family, and sometimes not even them. Some of those things are just for me. And this is the reason why. So I'm glad that, you know, this article actually stated that, because it's so true. Indeed, self-esteem occurs when our true self motivates, values, feelings, and self-perception operates unobstructed in our everyday lives. And that's exactly what I just alluded to. Our self-esteem occurs when we are just being our true, unobstructed self in our everyday lives. And again, I know I say this a lot. I say this particular phrase, if you know me personally, which I mean personally, because if you only see me on social media, you really don't know the half of me. But people who know me know that I'm a very happy person. I can be serious when it's warranted, but not, I'm not anal. I'm not an anal person. I'm very free, carefree, and fun loving. I really, really am. And I don't like to be around people, to be honest with you, who are phony and fake. Excuse me. That's one of my pet peeves, is to be around people who are phony and fake. And not to really go all into detail, but when you are living a life of fraud, where you're believing your own lives, it comes to that point, that's a person that can't be trusted. When you believe in your own stuff and you believe that you can fool people enough to where they don't see behind you, that's a person that cannot be trusted. And this is from a mental health therapist here, because there is something very troubling in your psyche that allows you to go on not really liking who you are. And so that means that you will morph yourself into anything and anybody. And that's really sad. It's a sad state of existence. It really is. I don't ever want to portray like I'm something that I'm not, because I want people to love me for me, right? Because whether these people know it or not, the mask is going to come off, and it slips off when you're not even aware of it. Because if you're being phony, you can't be phony 24/7. You can't. So wouldn't you rather be around people who love you for you? But I'm just going to leave that rhetorical question there. Or it doesn't have to stay as a rhetorical question. You can hit me up and let me know your thoughts about that, okay? Authenticity, or even being perceived as authentic, may provide positive benefits to our view of our worth and abilities and increased self-respect. And again, that's kind of what I alluded to before, you know, just now, is the fact that I love that people let me know that I'm authentic, because it just proves that what I already know. So it's a confirmation, and it does feel good. It really does. Now, such a lifestyle has several benefits to well-being, even on a cellular level, including improved antiviral responses. Wow. Did you know that being your authentic self and just living in your truth can just make you even healthier physiologically? That's basically what that's saying, right? So, enough of that. Let's come back with more on the home stretch, okay, after this break. Hey, this is your girl Leticia coming to you from the virtual couch. I want to take a little bit of your time today to discuss how to find the right therapist. Now, like with anything, your hairstylist, your gardener, your medical doctor, it may take a few tries before you find the right fit. Finding the right therapist is no different. So stay the course and don't give up. Also, I want to empower you to ask questions. Do not feel like you're being intrusive by asking questions, because guess what? This is the person that's going to lead you and guide you towards your healing. And this is a very important partnership. So I will say this, even as a therapist myself, if a therapist becomes offended by any questions that you may have, just like with any other individual that I discussed before, like your doctor, your gardener, whoever, someone, you know, working on your home,
If they become offended, you're probably not going to hire them, right? Exactly. Your therapist is no different. So don't feel offended. Don't be offended by the degrees and the licenses and yes, all those hard things we worked for, but we're here for you. And so it is your right to ask every question you need to ask to make sure it is the right fit for you. And again, it may take a few tries. And again, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person or that therapist is a bad person either. It just means that, you know what, they may not be the right person to guide you on your journey. So I want to leave you with a few resources. Psychologytoday.com is a resource where you can view various therapists, and you can even input your area by your zip code, your city, and your state to find the therapist nearest you. You can also go to therapyforblackgirls.com and therapyforblackmen.org. Please seek these resources out. They are awesome. There are some wonderful, very experienced therapists on these sites, some of which are my beautiful colleagues, and I know the hard work that they do, and they are waiting to hear from you. Okay, so I'm not gonna take any more of your time because I know you can't wait to get to that computer, right? And search out that therapist. So I'm not going to say anything further. If you want to tell me about your experience, I would love to hear about it. Please email me at virtualcouchpodcast1@gmail.com. And happy hunting. Take care.
If you or someone you love are having thoughts of committing suicide, please call the National Suicide Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or call 1-800-273-TALK. You are not alone.
Is your enjoyment a break? Now find your spot on the virtual couch and get ready to hear our girl Letitia drop some more gems on ya. Drop some more gems on her, Letitia.
Now let's go into why is authenticity important. According to positive psychology, a quote-unquote good life is not defined solely by the absence of psychological problems, but by experiences that go above and beyond the absence of problems. Authenticity and living a complete and fulfilling life are processes rather than outcomes. Living authentically involves moving in a direction that is most authentic to us as individuals. So with that said, it doesn't mean that you won't have issues, you won't have problems to live an authentic life. If anything, having issues shows you that it's really important to live your life authentic and take those problems by the horn and ride them on into the sunset. That's what I do. You will never know when I'm going through anything because guess what? That's a part of life. So you can't let problems get you down, okay? How to be your authentic self. We can engage in several practices and activities to be more authentic while encouraging a balance between what is going on inwardly and what we express outwardly. So basically, that's just said what I said. You should never let anyone know. And I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't have any problems. I'm just saying the normal quirks of life that everyone goes through, but you're never going to see me sweat ever. Not because of that, that I'm trying to portray an authentic life. It's because things just don't get me down. I don't allow them to, because when you live your life authentically, you are going to take the good with the bad. You just are. You're going to embrace the sunshine as well as the storms. So in the long run,
putting on an inauthentic front is tiring. Yes, it is. And ultimately damaging to our mental and physical well-being. So when you're walking around here being a fraud and you're acting like something you're not, you're actually damaging your soul. You really are. And to be honest with you, to what benefit? Because usually, like people like me who are authentic, we can see right through it anyway. So you're doing all that for nothing. Okay? Joseph, in this article, he summarizes that what is needed is the following formula and goals. Know yourself, your own self, be yourself equals the authentic life. Now, let me say that again. Know yourself plus own yourself plus be yourself equals the authentic life. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard for someone to do this if they don't know who they are, of course. And you don't own who you are and you're not yourself. But see, let me even back up further than that. Some people really don't like themselves. Some people really don't. And so that's some things that you need to work out in therapy. I'm just going to be honest with you. And anyone knows me. I say that phrase a lot. I really love who I am. I really don't care. Literally, I don't give a damn of who doesn't like me. I've always been that type of kid. I really always had a good self-esteem. I don't care what you say. I don't care how you say it. Well, no, I'm a backup. I do care how you say it because you're not going to talk to me crazy. And that's part of having a good self-esteem, right? You don't allow people to disrespect you. And I do not. I'm happy-go-lucky, but you will not disrespect me. And those who have seen that side of me, you know it's not pretty, right? So let's go on. Learn to do the following in your daily life. Be mindful of your wants and your needs and be intentional of what's going on in your body as well outside of your body. I'm a person, I'm very sensitive to how people make me feel in the type of environments I'm around. I know when people are not really good, I just get a bad vibe about them. And so what I do, I take myself out of those surroundings, no matter what it is. It could be a business environment. It could be anything. If it's not really coinciding with happy feelings for me, then I need to get out of there. Listen to your inner voice rather than losing it in the noise of others. Silence people. When I hear a lot of chatter, when people are, I have to just get with myself and silence everyone out. Make it an ongoing process to listen to your hopes, dreams, and your fears. Also, know yourself and what are you good at? Some people don't know because they're too busy in copying off of other people. This is what this was about. How do you know what you're good at if you're always copying off of somebody else, trying to please somebody else, which I'm not going to go back into that. But face up to the truth of who you are, good, bad, ugly, and indifferent. And honesty is not always pleasant, okay? You may not like who you are in the mirror, okay? Well, then fix it. But it has to be authentic. And it has the potential to set you free. Own yourself and your truths. Don't allow others to push you into their way of thinking. And always, well, not always, also don't stick to views when you are proved wrong and they're no longer working for you. I have a little story. I get people that always want me to do things with them, projects, business, personal, and all this stuff. And without putting this individual on blast, I had somebody who said that they had an obligation with me, and they did not. And this individual, I think, likes me, but whatever. We're not even going to get into all that. But he basically said, well, I need you to do X, Y, and Z. And you know what I did? Blocked him. You will not dictate to me what you want me to do. That's what you're not going to do. You're not going to dictate to me what you want me to do. And so I had to literally block him. Let's go on. Lastly, be yourself. Be honest, transparent in your dealings. People like and are drawn to those that they perceive as sincere, genuine, and distrust those who are not. To be honest with you, I do not trust people who are not authentic because they're wearing a mask. I said that before. So you never know what you're going to get from them. Okay. They're not honest because basically when you're not authentic, you'll be a person that's usually dishonest. So just asking yourself the following questions. Do you feel free to make your own choices? Do you feel free to express your own views and opinion? Do you feel and can you be yourself on a day-to-day basis? If the answer is no to any of these questions, reflect further and get yourself together. Even as parents, you need to be able to teach your children how to be authentic. And if you're not, how is your child going to know what authenticity is, okay? Conditional love creates what Carl Rogers, he's a famous psychologist, he states that how to rear children is unconditional love, okay? We have to have unconditional love, and that's without boundaries. And a lot of parents get this wrong. You want to show love when the children are doing right and winning awards, but when they're not, you know, so nice and naughty, even though discipline is key, you do have to have structure, but you still have to love them anyway, okay? As parents, you know, you must show children unconditional love, not depending on doing well at school, passing exams, being well-behaved, or excelling at sports. Showing love only when our children perform or withholding it when they do not equate to what we want, it's not good. It's just really not going to good. And it's going to breed children. It's going to create children who are being their false selves. They're going to create narratives to please people, and that's just not good. It's also dangerous, okay? Authenticity and vulnerability, are they linked? I think they are. There's a strong connection between authenticity and vulnerability. Authenticity in nursing was only made possible by entering a state of mutual vulnerability with other staff and patients. This is what a study with nursing staff. Such findings have been replicated many times since in various domains. Endearing greatly how the courage to be vulnerable transforms the way we live, love, parent, and lead by Brené Brown confirms the strength of the link between authenticity and vulnerability. See, a lot of people don't know how to be vulnerable because it is scary. Because when you're vulnerable, when we're vulnerable, I should say, we have the chances of being hurt. But how are you going to really authentically love if you're not vulnerable? That's part of the game, right? Vulnerability is the birthplace of love, belonging, joy, courage, empathy, and creativity. It is a source of hope, empathy, accountability, and authenticity. And this is what Brown says. She goes on to say that vulnerability and authenticity form part of our hardwired need for connection. And that together, they stop us from dehumanizing people and help us develop valuable relationships. When business leaders show humility and vulnerability, their followers experience a greater degree of authenticity as related to themselves and their experience of the leader. So with that said, that concludes this podcast episode. And with this new year, be authentic, be your real self. And who likes it, they like it, and who doesn't. Because 9 times out of 10, the people who have something to say about you, they don't even know who they are themselves. So with that said, peace until next time. Take care.
Leticia stays dropping those gems. Don't forget to hit my girl up on the Anchor app message feature on Spotify.
And at virtualcouchpodcast1@gmail.com.
Didn't she just drop some gems? Come back soon for some more of her intellectually stimulating conversations with a dose of humor laced with that dope LA swag. Keep doing your thing, beautiful. She's out. Peace.
Virtual couch.